Good morning, everybody. Just going to ask you to bow your heads in prayer with me. Dear Lord, I thank you for today, and I thank you that we can all come together and worship you in peace. And I thank you for the picnic that we're having on later today, and that we can fellowship together and really love on each other. In your name, amen. So I began working at McDonald's when I was 16 years old, and there was a good experience and bad experience, but about a month into me working at McDonald's, I was still being trained, so I worked cleaning up tables or making fries, and that was basically my job for a good 3, 4, 5 weeks. So this one day, I'm making fries and cleaning tables, just doing my job, and my manager comes up to me and asks me to refill the salt shaker for the fries. So I refill the salt shaker, continue on, and after a while, this guy comes back through the drive-thru and he asks for the manager, and the manager goes over to the window and the customer says, "This may sound a little weird, but my fries are kind of sweet." So the manager tries one of the fries, and then he comes over to my fry bowl thing and tries a fry there. And he looks at me and he says, "John, which bag did you use to fill the salt shaker?" And I look over at the table where the bag was, and right across the center of the bag, it says sugar. So luckily, the customer and the manager were pretty good humored about it, had a good laugh, and we gave the customer new fries, and everything worked out fine. Little did they know that I'd been serving sugar fries for the past hour to every single customer that came to McDonald's that day. So, yeah, and I was just really blessed by my manager because it was during the 1 month probation, so he could have just sent me on my way right there for basically any reason, and I gave him a pretty good reason. So today I would just like you guys to turn to Romans 12, 9 to 16. And we're going to be reading from the New Living Translation. So it says in Romans 12, 9 to 16, "Don't pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection, and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope. Be patient in trouble, and keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Be happy with those who are happy, and weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other, and don't be proud. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all." So I'm just going to dissect this verse and just go verse or line by line, basically, I would like to focus on how we can change our lives to love people around us. So the first part we're going to focus on is love each other with genuine affection. Other versions say brotherly affection, or to outdo one another showing honor. So what I want you to do now is just imagine someone who's like a really good friend, maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's parents, maybe it's your kids. Think of someone you really love and care about and want what's best for. So that's what I think brotherly affection is, just wanting what's best for them. And this doesn't mean that you need to be Santa Claus to everybody in the whole world. You don't need to one day of the year give everybody a present. But you need to genuinely care about every single person that you come across in your life. And I think that's what it means to love each other with brotherly affection. The next part of the verse says, "When God's people are in need, be ready to help them, always eager to show hospitality." So I want us to examine ourselves now. How can we be more hospitable to the people around us? Maybe it's the people in our church. Maybe it's people who are new to our church. Maybe it's people who are been in our church a long time. How can we be more hospitable? How can we be like the Good Samaritan who is willing to help someone who was completely culturally different and that was passed by two people who were culturally more acceptable, the Levite and the priest, who have a good station in culture, but not the love that the Good Samaritan had for the one man that was beaten and injured. Now, I've had a friend for a little while now named AJ, and I think he's a really great example of someone who shows hospitality to everyone he meets in his daily life. Anytime I'd go for coffee with him or have a meal with him, or anybody, in fact, not just me, he would always offer to like pay for the meal. And he's not like a wealthy guy or anything. And like most of the time, he's like, no, 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 no. But like, he's just that guy that's always trying to help you in some way. Even when we had leadership meetings, because he was the former UCM or University Campus Ministry pastor guy, when we'd have meetings, he would take us downtown and we'd just hang out in a coffee shop. And he would often invite people to come join us if they were like sitting alone, or he would take like a random homeless person off the street and have them join us. And it's like a really different kind of love than I've ever experienced. And it was just amazing to see that kind of love all the time from him, and that he was always there to be hospitable to people around him. And I think that we need to have that kind of love all the time in our church and to the people around our church. So I think that's something we should strive for. The next part in Romans, it says to bless those who persecute you. And don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Now, I'm going to be honest and say that I've never really felt the persecution, like as much persecution as many people in the past have. Like, I've never been tortured. I've never had my lands stripped away. I've never had a farm that was, all the livestock were killed by an enemy raiders or whatever. I've never had that happen to me. So it's very hard for me to just see what the other Christians in the past were going through. But I don't think it matters how much we are persecuted, but what really matters is our response to the persecution. If people are coming and doing mean things to us, we shouldn't curse them, like it says in Romans. Don't curse them. It says to bless them. So what does bless them mean? It means to look out for what's best for them, do something for them, show God's love to them. And it also says to pray God will bless them. So not only are we supposed to do nice things for them or care about them, we're also supposed to pray that God will bless them. And I think that's something that we need in our lives too. Now, way back in 2 Kings, the Arameans were invading Israel. And as the Armenians raided Israel and destroyed many towns, eventually the Israelite king got together an army and they were going to go out and fight the Arameans. And so Elisha was the prophet at the time, and he went with the Israelite king. And the Israelite king asked Elisha what he should do. And Elisha went and prayed to God that the Arameans would be stricken with blindness. And God answered his prayer, and the Arameans were stricken with blindness. And Elisha went up to them and guided the army into a nearby city that was completely surrounded by the Israelites. Now, once they were surrounded, Elisha had God give them their sight back, and so the Arameans could see this massive army all around them, completely surrounded. And the Israelite king asked Elisha, what should he do? And the king's thinking, okay, well, they're in our power, they've wrecked our towns and cities, and they're here to kill us. And so we should probably just kill them, just get rid of them. But Elisha tells them that that's not how you treat prisoners of war, that they should feed them and give them a place to stay, give them water. And the king even took that one step further and gave them a feast, and then eventually sent them on their way, even though these are the people that came to kill the Israelites and to take away their stuff. So I think that is how we should take persecution at all levels, that we should be willing to feed those who persecute us and give them what they need. And one thing that's really cool about the Armenes is they didn't come back after that. They stopped invading Israel after being shown that kind of kindness and love. So continuing on into Romans, it says, "Be happy with those who are happy, and weep with those who weep." Now, this one seems really straightforward. You're just be respectful of what's going on around you. If people are at a funeral, you don't want to be jumping up and down, excited, stuff like that. You don't do that. No one likes that guy. But the same thing goes for being happy. If you're at a birthday party, you want to be happy with the people. You want to celebrate their life and things like that. So that's really straightforward, but I think it also falls under how we deal with our enemies or people who persecute us. If our enemy, let's say a coworker that you really don't like, they just mess your life up all the time. They get a promotion, okay? Are you like, dang it, I wanted that promotion. They don't deserve it. You're telling all your coworkers, hey, this guy does not deserve the promotion. Do you do that, or do you celebrate with them that they got the promotion and they had great success in their career? And then the same goes on the flip side. Say you get a promotion, or let's say a coworker you didn't really like gets fired. What can you do to help that person? That's what you should be thinking. Don't think, yay, they're gone. You know, think, how can we help this person? And so looking back at my childhood, when one of my brothers was getting punished, it's probably not the best idea for me to be super excited about that and thinking, hey, you, not me. So, yeah. The final statement in Romans says, "Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all." So I think living in harmony with everybody is really important, and I think we just have that listed out for that just above the verse, that we need to do all those things together and care about everybody around us. We don't need to go out of our way to hurt people. That should not be our goal ever. Doesn't matter who it is. We should be welcoming, basically, to all different types of thoughts, but we just need to make people feel comfortable, not necessarily comfortable, but just welcome, and have people know that we truly care about them. The next part says, don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. This means that anybody you should be willing to hang out with. You should be able to talk to them, hear about their feelings, hear what's going on in their life, truly care about them. Doesn't matter how high in station or how low, or if they're in the middle. Doesn't matter where the person's at, you should still be willing to talk to them and care about them. And then the final statement says, and don't think you know it all. And I've got a story for everyone. This guy named Sam Walton, he's the creator of Walmart. He had an estimated net worth of $30 billion when he died. And he made many, many, many Walmarts across North America and across the world. He was in Brazil one time, and he was at a supermarket, and he was actually on the ground with some measuring tape, measuring the size of the aisles, or the space between the aisles, okay? So imagine this billionaire guy on the ground in the aisles of your local supermarket with a tape measure, trying to figure out why their aisles were so big compared to his aisles. And I think that's just an amazing example of humility. This guy, who's probably one of the greatest experts in the retail market, is willing to think that someone in Brazil, just a local supermarket, has a better idea than him, and he wants to see why they do that. Not surprisingly enough, the manager of the supermarket he was in called the authorities thinking that this guy's crazy, and they actually put him in a Brazilian jail for a day or something like that. So, but yeah, I think that's just a great example of someone who shows and realizes that he can learn from anybody. And I see this in my tutoring too. I often will take, actually my writing is not exactly the neatest, and same with my drawing. So a lot of the times I'll work with students of all different levels, and some are very good at certain things and others are not, and that's why I'm there helping them. But my writing is bad, and oftentimes I'll take tips and pointers for how to keep my lines straighter and stuff like that from students who are very artistically talented. So I'd just like to end with a challenge. So I just challenge us all to love each other with brotherly affection, be eager to show hospitality, bless and pray for those who persecute you, and finally realize that other people around you are there to help you too. So I'd just like to close in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for today, and I just pray for love in our life, that we can love everyone around us, doesn't matter who it is. I just pray that we can have your kind of love, a radical kind of love, that truly shows Jesus in our lives. And I just pray for the rest of the day that it would be nice and sunny, and that we can enjoy our picnic. In Jesus' name, amen.